Always keeping the main thing, the main thing. Thanking God for Jesus Christ. Thanking God for the Holy Spirit. Thanking God for his angels who watch over us. Thanking God for his church. Thanking God for this congregation. Thanking God for the leaders of this congregation. Thanking God for this day that he'd given us. Didn't have to do it, but he did. But we are thankful for him that he enabled us to come out today. There were some who were sick and who's here today. Praise be to God. Amen. And we just want to thank him. We pray that God would bless our ears of hearing, our hearts of receiving, our wills to obey his word. And that he would help us this morning to remove any and everything that might hinder our worship this morning. What was read to you was Judges, the 6th chapter, verses 7. I would like to begin at Judges 6, verse 1 through 12. Judges 6, chapter, verses 1 through 12. And that was what was read to you was Judges 6, 12. I would like to read 1 through 12. And it reads, and it came, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Midian 7 years. And the hand of the Midians prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midians, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. Till thou come unto Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tent, and they came as grasshoppers for a multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angels of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Slide down to verse 36. The Bible says, And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon the earth beside, then shalt thou know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And as it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, that this once with the fleece, let it now be dry upon the fleece and upon the ground, let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there were dew all around the ground. 7 in verse 1 through 7, the Bible says, And Jerubbaal, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand have served me. Now therefore go to proclaim thee in the ear of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there return of the people 22,000, and there remain 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee, and I shall be that. And it shall be that whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down unto their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lap will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hands, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. My subject this morning is faithful, not fearful. Faithful, not fearful. Gideon was an Israelite judge, a military leader, and son of Joash, called by God to deliver the Israelites from the Midianite suppression. Though he initially dealt God's call, he is famous for the eventual victory over the Midianites with a vastly smaller army of 300 men. And for his two fleeces test to confirm God's will, Gideon's story serves as an example of God's using unlikely fearful individual to accomplish his purpose. The story of Gideon teaches that God uses the weak and fearful to accomplish his purposes, showing his power through inadequate to bring him glory. It also highlights the importance of obedience, trusting in God's promise, and not letting fear dictate our actions, even when we doubt ourselves. The story demonstrates God's patience with human weakness and the need to depend on Him alone rather than on our own strength or in our own numbers. God intentionally reduced Gideon's army from 3,000 to 10,000 to 300, ensuring the victory could only be attributed to him and not Israel's military strength. The story encourages listeners to trust God's guidance and move forward in faith, even if the path isn't fully clear, relying on his promises. Gideon starts from a place of fear, weakness, and insecurity, but emerges as a hero filled with God's presence. In times of our fears and doubts, the story reminds us that God is greater than our circumstances, and that his faithfulness will prevail. Gideon's story illustrates God's sovereignty, allowing hardship to remind us of our total dependence on his strength and mercy. When Israel became self-reliant, they fell into oppression. The story teaches us that true deliverance comes from God, not from human efforts or from a great number of humans. You see that, you know, there are, in this life, we have our challenges, and they're there for us to either be faithful or be faithless. God wants us to be faithful. A couple of weeks ago in Revelation, we saw that the church at Smyrna was experiencing poverty, false accusation, imprisonment, and the threat of death. But they stayed faithfully obedient. Jesus said, I want to keep you in memory, to keep on doing what you're doing, being faithful in here, being faithful. He showed us that he is here, even though Goliath is here too. He's here. Even though we have some mountains in our way, God is saying to us, he's here. Even though we are afraid, he's here. Even though it seemed like he's waiting too long to do what we asked him to do, he's here. And he has proven to us through this, through the church of Smyrna. He said, Smyrna, just stay faithful. Stay faithful unto death. Stay faithful. Don't doubt me. Just stay faithful. He's telling the same thing to Edge Hill. Stay faithful. You know, just stay faithful. I know you want another preacher, but stay faithful. You get it, You get it. Stay faithful. Just stay faithful. Don't worry about what you see now. Just stay faithful. Stay faithful, Stay faithful. And we saw in Noah, we see that Noah had a faithful few. He had a small congregation of people. Are you with me? He had a small congregation, but that small congregation done big things. Are you with me? That small congregation done big things. Big things. For years they worked together. And we don't hear of no help that they had. We hear of the small congregation. He's telling us, small congregation at Hill, be faithful. Use what you got. Are you with me? If you ain't got that, use this. Are you with me? Use this. Be faithful. Be faithful. One day, you know, we might look back and we don't have enough room for the people. We might have to need two services. Only God knows this, but you be faithful. Even if we don't have these things, still be faithful. That's what he's saying. With the few, be faithful. With the few, be faithful. He's talking to us now today with Gideon. God is able to subtract and still increase us. Are you with me? That's the kind of God we serve. He's able to subtract and still increase us. But we have to what? Believe. It ain't nothing that we need to do. What we need to do is what he said to do. Plant, water, and move out the way. He will give the increase. Are you with me? That's what God is saying. He would give the increase. We don't have to do nothing but believe. And I know that's hard for some people to disbelieve because, like I said, you're waiting too long. You know? You're waiting too long. Look how long Brother Patterson been up here. You know? I understand. I understand. But be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Because God has something in store for you if you're faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful unto death. All the way. Not some of the way. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. That's the Bible. Do you believe that? If you believe it, it's okay. It's all right. God is able, like I said, he's able to subtract and still give us increase. He told Gideon that there were too many. I will sort them out and send them home. Are you with me? You can imagine how Gideon felt. He said, but when I'm looking at the Midianites, the Amorites, and those other people out there, this is a lot of people. I got 32,000, Lord, you know, but we don't hear that now, but you know, we don't hear, Lord, you know, what are you trying to do to me? Are you with me? What are you trying to do to me? Right? God said, I got this. I got this. All you have to do is trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me, Edge Hill. Trust God. Trust God. And he will get you there where you need to be. You see, trust him. Because if we don't trust God, guess who we're going to trust? Self. Are you with me? And self got Israel into the trouble that they were in already. You see, they look away from God and they turn to idols. Are you with me? Gideon's daddy was doing idolatry. Are you with me? We would say his upbringing was bad, but God saw something in Gideon that Gideon didn't see in himself. Are you with me? He saw something in Gideon, and he told Gideon, "You're the man. We're gonna lead us out of this." Are you with me? You're the man. But look here, you're gonna only. I know you got 32,000 now, but you're going to only have 300. What? You're going to only have 300. You're going to only have 300. This is how he used the 300. He gave them jars, and he gave them some lamps, and he told them to say some words. God is with you. The Lord is with you. He told them to say these things, and he says at this particular hour, break the jars, make loud noise all around the camp, and make a loud voice, you know, say, talk loud. In other words, when you say Lord and Gideon, speak loud about it, right? And they said, hold up the lamps. And when the Midianites saw all of this going on, they freaked out because they said, this is too many people. We got to get out of here. We got to leave this place. Are you with me? It said they got so disrupted, they got so confused, so they start fighting themselves. Are you with it? That's what God can do. God can make your enemy fight against one another. But we have to believe that. You see? Because sometimes we say, God, you're too slow. I got to fight this battle. God, I got this, right? God has said, sit down. Wait on me. Are you with me? Sit down. Wait on me. But Lord, I sit down. Wait on me. Right? But sometimes we just get we sit down too long. And it seems like we got to get up and do it ourselves. Are you with me? And when we get up and do it ourselves, we mess up. And then we cry out to the Lord, God, save me. And then when we pray, sometimes we don't pray the right prayer. Because the right prayer, when we do something like that, we should say, Lord, save me from myself. Because myself keep messing me up. How I feel keep messing me up, Lord. How I think keep messing me up. Things I do keep messing me up. Myself. Save me from myself. Save me, Lord, from myself. That's the prayer that we should pray when we get in our own way. Amen. Get in. He done exactly what God has said. He done it. God said, you will win because of me, not because of you, Gideon. We sing this song, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with truth, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. He's awesome. We have to just believe that. It might seem like God is a little slow, but somebody says he's right on time. He might not be there when you want him, but he's right on time. That's what the Bible, that's what people say. You know, you got to believe that if you want to. You know, that's on you. We might not find that in the Bible, but I believe that if we trust in the Lord with all, not with some. You see, most of us won't trust him with 75% because we got something else to do with the 25%. Are you with me? We got something else to do. But trust, but God said, I want you to trust me with all you got, everything you got. Edge Hill, trust God. Trust him with all you got. All you got. Trust him. What else you got to do? You see where this world is going. You see what's happening in this world. You see, instead of us trusting in the Lord, you know, if we start trusting in other things, the devil would put things out there for us that look like gold. Are you with me? The Bible teaches us that sin is at our door. He said it to Cain, but he said it to us too. Sin is right at our door. Are you with me? And everything that glitters may not be the goal that you're looking for. You see? So God is saying, be faithful. Be faithful. He told the church at Smyrna, be faithful. Because I know what you're going through. I know. I see it. I know you. Just keep on doing what you're doing, Smyrna. You're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. You're not letting the giants get the best of you. You're not letting circumstances overtake you. You're overtaking the circumstances. It told Noah, you got a few, but you just do what you got to do, what you got to do it with. You see, that's what he told Noah, and Noah did it. He did it as God said to do. Get in. I'm going to subtract some from you. I'm going to take away some. But guess what? You're still going to be able to do it. Why? Because I'm with you. Because I'm with you. I know you're looking at me and say, Brother Pastor, when are you going to be over? Well, I'm over now. I'm over. I just hope and pray that something said make you a better person for having been here. It's about faith. It's about faith. You got to have the faith, not faith in Brother Patterson, because I might die tomorrow. I might can't talk or whatever. Don't look at me. It's Christ. Look at Christ, the one who was dead but now is alive. Are you with me? Take a look at him, the one who said that he can do all things, right? And he said, if you believe in me, you can do all things also. Are you with me? According to his will. Amen. If you are here and you are a member of the you are not a member of the church, if you're not a member, there's some steps that you must take. You must hear God's word. You must hear it. What is God's word? God's word is the gospel. Jesus came from heaven. Came down, born of a virgin in the flesh. Live a sinless life, suffered and died on a cruel cross. On the third day, he rose with all powers in his hand. You must believe that. You must believe that. You must repent. Repent once again means if you happen to be going down the wrong direction, it don't mean just to stop. It means to stop and turn around. You got to, you know, because sometimes we just stop for a while, and guess what? We keep on going. But it's about stopping and turning around and coming back to the Lord, coming back with the right way. You must confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You must be baptized in water for remission of sin. It's a must. You can't get around these things. You must. You must come to worship. You must give. You must commune. You must worship. You must teach. You must preach. We must do these things. We can't get around these things. It's a must. And above all these musts, you must love. Because if you don't love, you ain't got it going on. You have nothing without love. You have nothing without love. It must be, love must be in it. The main thing is love. It must be there. If you are here and you are not a member of the church, you must hear these things and you must believe these things. If you are here and you are a member and you are in need of prayer, you must ask for prayer this time that we together stand and sing the song that was appointed to you.